लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today I have another actress here at my podcast. As I said, lately I had a bit overwhelming actors here, so it's time for another actress, and it's time for also a dog mom. You can see it in the picture of the thumbnail. And I'm going to LA and I'm saying hello to Rachel Beth Jackson. Welcome to my podcast, Rachel. Hi.
Hey, hi, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Everyone is every time welcome. And let's be honest, I love that you want to join me because we can talk about a bit of this, let's call it XXL discussion. I am doing a monthly recap with my review ladies every month. And I started watching Verticals in 2023. So I saw a bunch of this whole XXL storylines that came up in the past. And I saw you did also a few ones. And the latest one is also not the typical XXL storyline, but it's, kind of genre, I want to say now. So I'm very happy to have some of the actresses here because the ladies and I, we are not so, as I said, the fans of this classic XXL, let's say it's shit because it is shit when you need two actresses for the leads. So that's why I'm so happy that I can talk with you about this stuff ongoing and about your opinion about this ongoing stuff. Your actually show recently dropped with Teek Sadhana. Mm-hmm. It dropped on Real Short, and the correct title is XXL. I'm so bad in titles. Can you say
XL stands for Extra Love.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the first time. No, it was the second time. The other show was on Gamma Time, but it was one of the exceptional show where it was one lead, the whole storyline, and nothing about getting super thin because it's needed in the storyline or anything else. So that was a really great part about it. But what I really hate in the storyline, and that's what I want to ask you, there is so much bullying against oversized or plus-sized ladies. And as I said, I'm also not the super skinny type. So for me, it's kind of annoying seeing this bullying. How is it to act so stuffy?
Definitely great questions. I do feel like this script was such a step forward in like the parts that I've played, but obviously like still such a distance to go in the writing. Honestly, acting it is mostly fine, right? There's always the stunt coordinators. There's always communication between the actors. I've never had an experience where the person doing the bullying was not incredibly kind. Like they always take time to be like, you know, this is not my favorite thing to do either. And we're all very much on the same team. The way I think about it, especially in this story, is bullying is a relied upon trope in verticals all the time. And I think it's an issue kind of across the board that's like so prevalent. So my mindset has just kind of been like, even if I were a thin actress and I were playing a lead in a vertical, I would probably still have like paint dumped on me and be told, mean things and be shoved around and all of that stuff. The issue becomes when it is a plus size lead and all of the bullying centers around that person's body, right? And it is different. It does read different than a thin actress being bullied. They're different things. And I think that currently the companies, the apps, the writers don't quite understand that those things come across differently. And I think that they need to hear enough people say that, like, a thin actress being told she's ugly and a plus size actress being told that, those come across differently to audiences. And I think the more conversations we have about that, the more they hear that, the more receptive they're going to be, right? Because the only reason this script even exists is because of the responses to those transformation stories, right? Enough people said, we are sick of this. We don't want to see this.
Oh,
We want to see
yes.
the lead be the lead the whole time. And then they said, okay, if that's what you want, here's this script. So now we push it further, right? And we say, like, okay, great. We have the plus size lead the whole time. How can we give them better writing? How can we make it not revolve around their body the whole entire plot? And so I think it's just continuing to be really transparent with the companies of like what we want as audience members, what I want as an actor, and continuing to push them to like make those improvements and make those changes. They're definitely receptive to it, and they definitely are aware of like how audiences feel about these things, and they try to pivot as quickly as possible when they get that feedback. So I think it's just like keeping on them about it and just saying like we don't want that kind of storyline.
Yeah, because to be honest, the tar let's say the typical target group of verticals are mostly oversized women. It's not that I want to discriminate anyone, but when you see, or I got in touch with a lot of audience people, and we are, I would say 90% not be the super model, super skinny people. As I said, including me. So for me, it's kind of hard to see that every time when there is a more feminine lady in this lead, that she's always so weak that she got bullied and that she need a male lead to back her up. That's the thing what I kind of dislike in this stuff. I want to see a lady saying, hey, I give a
Enough.
shit about what you're saying. I feel comfortable. I love my life. I'm powerful enough to work through. Doesn't matter what you are talking about me. I give a shit of your bullying, so in that way. But mostly of this XL, so okay, it's better that you are not replaced now. But I think the next step should be that it's not such a big theme in this whole vertical that she's so weak and feels
I
so
agree.
uncomfortable. I want to see a woman from the beginning not needing any type of man to survive in the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I
Absolutely.
saw.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's something that I have thought about a lot as an actor because I feel like especially the transformation ones, they're like they do typically read as very docile, very weak, very like in need of support and whatever. This one definitely had those elements, but because it was me the whole time, it was a little bit different. But it's something that I have to be conscious of in acting because I am so opposite of that. Like I am not a person who is timid. I'm a very like I'm secure in who I am. I'm very confident. And it can sometimes be hard to like shift into a mindset of like thinking that, I'm undeserving of whatever it is. Like it can be a very hard shift. And so I've actually spent a lot of time thinking about this of like playing these characters is actually like some of the hardest acting I've had to do of just making myself someone who wants to be like small and unseen and unheard is just so polar opposite of me. So I totally agree with you. I would love like a strong, fierce, plus size lady who just like knows who she is and is ready to just show up. I think that would be incredible. And I'm hoping that that script gets here sooner rather than later for sure.
And to be honest, why we cannot start doing verticals with a plus sized female lead without that this doesn't matter anything in the storyline. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? If
And
that
what I will say is, like, there are a couple of casting directors who will call me in for like a regular lead. There's two or three of them who will regularly like have me send in a tape for a regular lead. I've never been picked by the client, and that kind of comes down to like their expectations of beauty and things like that. But there are more than one casting director in the vertical space who is pushing like to have plus size actresses seen for traditional leads. And I would say that's only been true the past like 6 months or so. Previously, only ever seen for a role that was written B plus size. The last 6 months, I've started at least being put in the room for a traditional lead. So maybe that change is also coming, because I started noticing it and I was like, oh wow, like this is just like a lead that I'm auditioning for. That doesn't happen all the time. So I know, it's so exciting. So I think slowly but surely we're pushing towards that, and I hope it'll happen really soon.
How many of this XXL, let's say, changing verticals have you done? Two, three, two?
I think three or four of them, yeah.
Because I know that I minimum saw you in two. But to be honest, I didn't prefer watching this XXL because it was so,
Yeah.
you replace them really, and then all of a sudden, the ex-husband is so in love with her. Sorry, but
Right.
that's shit.
Yeah, I
So
agree. I totally agree.
it's not my favorite to watch vertical, to be honest. But as I spoke with my ladies in the monthly recaps, we discussed a lot about this XXL where the two female leads were in it, and we had the feelings that recently it got a bit less with
Yeah.
this. Switching roles. Yeah, thank God. And I hope that this continues. No, as I said, when I saw f the first one on Gamma Time, the summer I turned my sexiest way, you see also the whole show, the same lead, and she was a bit powerful in she did she doesn't need the man to get her revenge on her ex-husband. So that's what I want to see. That the
Yeah.
women feel so comfortable, and the main point is that they don't need a man to rescue them, you know? So,
Agreed.
but as you said, we are on a hopefully good way. So,
Yes.
what was your first vertical you did? When did you enter the space, and how did you get into it?
The first vertical I did, we shot in November of 24, and it came out in January of 24.
Do you know the title?
It's called, it's a great question, Mr. Governor's Wife. Something like that. It's with Dima and like Christine
Oh,
Haven.
with Dima
Yeah. That was
Rylan?
my first one. And I just got into it by seeing the breakdown on Actors Access and submitting for it. And they called me back in for like an in-person callback. And I did a chemistry read. And then about a couple days after that, they gave me the offer, and I didn't know a ton about verticals at the time. I knew they existed, but I didn't know like fully what the space looked like. I didn't really know what to expect, and I showed up, and that cast and crew was awesome. We had such fun. It was like just a really good time, really good group of people, and I love Dima and Christine both. They're wonderful, still both really good friends of mine, and they obviously are both very seasoned vertical actors and were at the time of doing this one. And so they basically were like, you know, once you're kind of in this world, like you can work as much as you want. Like once you are established, you are going to be able to find vertical gigs all the time. And they both kind of just like ushered me in to this world. And then shortly after that one got released, I started kind of connecting with some other vertical actors and getting to know kind of the larger space as a whole, getting to meet some other people. And then, kind of after that, it was a whirlwind of the past year of just like constantly being on set shooting verticals. And so, it kind of happened all at once and snowballed. And I had no idea from accepting that first one, that it would lead to all of this work and all of these, you know, great connections and stuff. But yeah, I kind of accidentally fell into the world and have been here ever since. So.
What have you done before you entered the vertical space?
Yeah, so I grew up in theater. I've been doing theater my whole life, and I went to school for acting for college. And I graduated college like just before the pandemic hit. And so my plan had been to move home for like a year or two, decide if I wanted to do New York or LA, because I was very like on the fence. I wasn't sure which city I wanted. I was like, I'll just go home for like 2 years, save some money, and then I'll decide, and then I'll move. And then like the world shut down. And so then that got delayed a little bit. So I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee. So I was in that area. I was working there in like local professional theater. I was like teaching some children's acting classes. I was doing, some commercial shooting in Atlanta or shooting in Kentucky, like small regional stuff, but still working. And then almost 3 years ago, I guess it'll be 3 years ago in October, I was like, I think it's time to like make the move to LA. I think I've kind of hit the cap of what the Southeast can offer me. That market is great, but it is still small. And so I was like, let's do it. And so yeah, about 3 years ago, I packed up all my stuff and my dog, and we drove across the country and moved to Los Angeles. And when I moved here, I pretty quickly got signed with an agency. I had an agent back in Nashville, but they were only for the Southeast. So I was like, hey, I'm moving to LA, like whatever. So I pretty quickly got an agent. I shot a couple smaller commercials when I first moved here, but I booked that vertical probably like 9 months after I moved here. So it was pretty quickly after I was like in the city that like verticals became my whole existence. But my most of my training is in theater. In college, I definitely took a lot of camera classes and really started falling in love with camera work, which is what made the decision between LA and New York hard. For my whole life, it was always going to be New York. And then I started taking our camera classes in college, and I was like, wait a second, maybe I like this more. Maybe I should move to LA. And then I decided. So, and now here we are. I'm in LA and I love it.
Do you miss the theater? The direct contact with the audience and the atmosphere?
I don't necessarily miss it. I still train at a theater near my apartment in LA. It's a really great theater that has like a training program. So I'm there like once a week for 4 hours, really getting that really good like theater environment. And then every like 8 or 10 weeks, we have like an open workshop people come and watch. So then I do have that audience. And then my like survival job, day job, whatever you want to call it, is I teach at a children's theater in Beverly Hills. So I'm still in that performing arts world a lot, just like either teaching kids or like taking classes. So I get my fill of it, but I still like from time to time will submit for a play or a musical if I see something that I'm really excited about. So it's not totally gone from my life, but it's definitely taken a back seat.
So when you had done your first vertical, and you said ever since then, like a snowball system. So when you look back now to this first vertical shoot and to the latest you did, what has changed in your personality, in your acting, and your what has changed?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, to start, my first vertical, it was such a learning curve of the acting style required for verticals, because I didn't know a ton about the space. And so like I had to pivot to the more like soap opera style, melodramatic style of acting, which like once I knew that was the expectation, totally fine. But I came in and I didn't know that like that's what we were working with. And so I think with every vertical I've done, I've gotten more and more comfortable existing in that style of acting and in that space of, remembering that you're performing for a small screen, but that the emotion still has to be really high. And it's like a very delicate balance of not making it seem ridiculous, but still getting the story across in the right way. All the things. So definitely have honed that skill set of the very specific vertical style of acting. I also think that like I've just gotten more sure of myself in the last like year and a half of doing verticals. Like I consider myself fortunate in a lot of ways because I had a professor in college who like really changed my life as an actor. I was like, before I met him my junior year, I was still getting my acting degree, but like unsure if I really still loved it, because theater schools, they can suck a lot of the joy out of acting. And so I was really in a place of like, I'm gonna finish this degree, but like, I don't know if I'm ever gonna use this. And then I met this professor, and what he taught me in my last 2 years of college, ever since then, I have never doubted my ability as an actor. I've always been like, I know that I'm good at this. I know that I have the skill set. I know that I'm talented. But in this vertical world, I have definitely come into a place of like, not only did I already know that I'm good and that I deserve a spot at the table and that I have worked really hard and I have a great skill set, I now am like just in a very secure place where when I do go through a dry spell of like maybe a couple months with no booking or just like 1 or 2 day player roles, it doesn't send me into a place of like, oh my gosh, is it all over? Will I ever work again? I'm just like, you know, take the time off, enjoy it. You know, you're going to be on set next month and it's going to be 10, 12 hour days and you're going to be exhausted. So like right now, just enjoy it. And so I think I have a very solid ground underneath me from, you know, knowing that the vertical world is there for me. I have those job opportunities available. And just being able to use my skills all the time and be working so consistently has given me just such like a grounded space as an actor. I feel like I'm not constantly chasing like approval and validation and all this outside source. I feel very secure in myself and in my work. And I think that comes from just like the amount of work I've been able to do in the last year and a half.
Let's say audition for some type of roles. Do you prefer any type of characters you want to play?
Ooh, that's so fun. I have gotten to do exactly one villain and I loved it. I thought it was so much fun. I like literally grinning ear to ear every time they called cut. I was like, this is the best time ever. Like at one point in that shoot, I told our stunt coordinator, I was like, listen, I'm always the one like getting shoved off the cliff or slapped or whatever. Like to be the person doing it is so much fun. So I'm always open and down for more villain roles. I know that like they don't write a lot of villain roles that were necessarily a fit for my type, but if they exist, I want them. And then other than that, I love a rom-com. Like I'm such a believer in like the importance of rom-coms and just like, you know, we sometimes just need like an hour and a half of positivity and like joy and happiness. And like, I think that that's so, so powerful. And like, I'm such a proponent of rom-coms, have been my whole life. I'm like, they are so important. They are so powerful. And especially when you can do rom-coms that attack things like body diversity or just diversity in general, right? Those are still so powerful and they're positive and they're joyful and they're happy. I love a rom-com. So anytime I can do a rom-com or I can play a villain, that's what I'm like here for.
Yeah, why not? To be honest, I've heard a lot that the villains are the most funny part in verticals.
It's so fun.
So, you know, I played a bit, even at kindergarten, I played a villain because of my black hair. I played the bad witch in Sleeping Beauty Theater in kindergarten. I was always the bad one. I can live with that because no one expects something good from you, you know? So, I love that, to be honest. How was it filming with Sterling, a child actor?
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. She's really fun. She obviously like child actor laws are pretty strict. So she was only able to be on set like I think 6 hours a day was her limit. It might be more, it might have been eight, but she was only there a certain chunk of the day. So when she was there, it was very much like get her scenes done and handled. You have to wrap her by this time. But Teague and I had so much fun with her. She loved hanging out with us. We were always like coloring and playing games and like doing all the fun stuff. She was just like always just so happy, so much fun. She is, it's so interesting because I work with a lot of kids in a theater setting and she is such a smart kid. She's only five, but she's so smart. And the second you call action, she knows exactly what to do. She is so focused. She will do everything asked of her. The second they call cut, she's like a playful, joyful five-year-old again. And she like wants to be silly and goof around. It's so cool.
So many child actors are so professional. Really. I recorded, for example, with Logan Hannigan for my podcast. And he was sitting there and bam, I asked him, for example, what's his goal in acting? And he said, yeah, Michaela, you know, I want to touch people's hearts so that they forget that I'm acting. And I was so, what the heck? An eight-year-old guy is telling me exactly that. What? So, and every time I see Sterling, as you said, she's so young, but so professional. And when you see BTS, right at the moment she's filming with Richard Chara and you saw Richard Chara all over with stickers in his face and stuff, it's like, yeah, that's really cute. But to be honest, she looked so much alike you in the show. She could have really been your daughter.
Multiple people who were like background actors or day players, like more than one person on set came up to me and was like, is she really your daughter? Like, no, over there on the couch. We're both paid to be here, but like that's her real mom.
When I saw this, I was so That's the first time ever I truly believe a mom and daughter pairing. You know, that was so incredible, to be honest. So how many verticals have you done so far? Do you know that?
Oh, such a good question. I think this one was like number 12 or 13, the one that just came out. I think
Oh,
it's
that's
like 12 or 13. I know I hit double digits at the end of last year, so I was somewhere in there.
What's your goal in vertical acting? I mean, you cannot have such high goals like in the classic film industry, I want to say. But what are some, let's say, goals or what you want to experience in this vertical industry?
Yes. A big one for me is like I've started dabbling in writing some scripts myself. And so there's a couple of scripts that I have written that I would love to get produced. That's a huge goal of mine. And kind of
What,
in this,
rom-coms?
yeah, two of them are rom-coms, and then one of them is like a group of women friends, kind of in the vein of like Steel Magnolias, Fried Green Tomatoes, that kind of like just female friendship story.
Okay.
So one of them is more that there is like a romance subplot in that one, but it's mostly about the four main friends. And then I have two rom-coms that I'm working on. And with that, kind of to what we said earlier, my two rom-coms are written to be plus size roles, but it is never really addressed. Their body is never really discussed or talked about. They
That's
just
great.
exist.
That's
They're
great.
written to be plus sized. And so whether it's my script or someone else's script, I would love to lead a rom-com, like you said earlier, where I just exist. It's just a
Yeah,
story, it's just a
that's it.
rom-com, and I exist in it. And so I think like I would feel very like, okay, check that list is done if that script existed again, whether it was one of mine that I wrote or someone else's. I think I would feel very like, okay, I did what I came here to do. If I was able to get like a true romance script that was like just a person existing in a different body.
Have you ever done a werewolf one?
No, I have not done a werewolf one. I would love to. I'm very into like the supernatural stories myself. I read a lot of supernatural, I watch a lot of it. So I would love to do one, but I have not yet.
Yeah, but lately there haven't been so many werewolf and vampires are totally less at the moment, I have the
Yeah.
feeling.
I haven't even seen like a lot of auditions for them floating around either,
Yeah,
so.
I was expecting that last year, you know. Round about Halloween, there will drop more time, but nope. But to be honest, I'm now actually a big fan of the new genre of the pirate ones.
Yeah, the pirate is so fun. I'm obsessed with that.
That was so. Oh, when I watched, there were two pirate verticals now. And when I watched them, it was so, yeah. Like in my childhood, I don't know if you know it in the US also, the author Astrid Lindgren has a story. It's called Ronja the Robber's Daughter, and it's
Ooh.
about a little kid being wild and freaky and, you know, so powerful and self-confident in what she's doing. And when I saw, yeah, there will be a pirate one, I said, exactly that type of character a woman
Yeah.
needs to be a pirate
Yes.
lady. So that's why. And there was a 100% chance that there is no banquet scene in this vertical. And not the typical hospital drama, you know? So it was a bit of, okay, yeah. And robbery and stuff make totally sense in a pirate one, you know?
Yes.
So I was so, oh, hell yes. Please, the pirate ones, more adventure, more for. It's also, you know, more nature in this
Yes.
vertical. Every time you see this big mansion, and in every third vertical, the same mansion and the same bar and the so
Yes.
for me, it was so, yes, outside shot in the nature, adventure, yeah, type of new storylines. And I was so glad, to be honest, that the smaller platforms did the shows. Because the quality was so good, and
Okay.
you can be sure that then mostly in the smaller platforms, the storylines are better.
I agree.
To be
I
honest,
agree. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of My Drama, Candy Jar, Drama Pops, these type of platforms, because all storylines on candy jars are based on books, so mostly there is always a good story in it. And yeah, the quality, for example, on Drama Pop shows is so
Yeah.
have you ever shot outside of LA in Vertigo?
I filmed in China last year, and I've had a couple auditions for New York and Vancouver, but haven't gone through with either of those. But I did do one in China last year.
Which one you did in China?
That one is called Billionaire Wife's Revenge, is what that one's called.
Who was in it?
Christine was also in that one, Christine Marie Havens, and Lake is in it. And then everybody else was like local to China, so we were the only
Do you
American
know
actor.
which platform that dropped?
Happy Shorts.
Happy Sh I've never heard about Happy Short.
I think they're mostly a Chinese market.
Ah, okay. It's not in that way that we already have more than 300 platforms, so.
Right.
Okay. What about shooting in Europe?
I would love to. I would love to do that. The one of the verticals that I've written is a Formula One romance because I love Formula One racing. It's like my favorite thing in the world. And in my mind, in my dream world, my
Yeah.
romance is shot in Europe, like the majority of
Where
it.
in Europe?
Honestly, anywhere, but like if we could get like on the Silverstone track, that would be the dream. Like that'd be the dream of
Or
my
in
life.
Monza. Or in
Monza
Monza.
would be amazing. Like but I would take any European track.
Here in Germany, we have the Hockenheimring, and we have also some good racing places.
That's true. So definitely down with like in truly in my dream world, my F1 vertical is shot in Europe.
And you know, here in Germany, we have the Autobahn. You can shoot here the action stuff without any tempo limits.
That's true.
Just for your information.
Yes. I
No,
love
and
that.
recently there were shot a lot of verticals in Europe. They even started shooting verticals here in Germany lately.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
I don't know yet if
Yeah.
it's awesome
Okay.
because there's a production company 2 hours from my place here. And I saw the first ones and they shot it German spoken. That's
Okay.
okay. But a bit of weird stories. And the latest casting calls I saw, they were searching for influencers with the right range of followers.
Yeah, that's
You
frustrating.
know, so I was so, really? Are you kidding? Yeah, you know, I connected to a few people here in Germany and I told them, listen, if you need vertical experience, directors, actors, whatever, I can connect you to a bunch of people where we can get great quality. And it's not without reason that the people from Turkey and all over flying over these actors from there because. Yeah, I'm working on it.
I love it.
No, I was thinking about making a database where every actor, actress, whatever director who's interested in, you know, a lot of your colleagues have even dual citizenships, another European citizenship, so it wouldn't be hard to get in the visa stuff, you know, so they can come over very short. And so I'm actually thinking about doing it like a database so that if someone is interested from the actor side can give me, you know, the classic one, like your agents have headshots, I don't know, all the measurements and whatever. So that I can say to the people here in Germany, listen, if you need someone, contact me. I can check if I have anyone in the database who would fit perfectly for that type of role. Because the production company 2 hours from here, I know that they will start shooting in English spoken verticals too. And they will release also a platform, a new one.
New one.
Yeah. Yeah, so they will release. I think I read that they will release a platform when they had 15 till 20 verticals, you know. So yeah, it's coming up, But the Germans are mostly so organized and structured and need a little bit of safety. You know, we are not so spontaneous. So we will see. No, you see it directly. A lot of people ask me, Michaela, what's this podcast you're doing about? Is it about a movie? No, it's not about a movie. It's a big industry we are talking about here. And so here in Germany, verticals are not very common at the moment. You, even if you want to get informed and you Google it and you are searching for German texts about infos about what you cannot find a lot. So
Interesting. Okay.
I said, okay, I will do a website additionally to this podcast where I fill it with English words and German words so that
Yeah.
everyone who's
Everyone
interesting.
can learn.
Yeah, that's for example a reason why I'm publishing this podcast also on YouTube. The audio file that you can hear or read it with the subtitles from wherever you are. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but I'm sure that 2026 Europe will come more and more because I was told from a few actors, actresses, and directors from the US that it's getting more and more cheaper to shoot in Europe than in LA and stuff. So it's easier or cheaper to fly you as an actor over than produce in LA. So I think there will be a bit more upcoming shootings here in Europe.
I
I'm
think so.
crazy about that, to be
Yeah.
honest.
That's
And
fun.
every vertical, sorry for being so snobbish, but every vertical who was shot in Europe is really great in quality. Sorry for
Oh my gosh.
saying that.
And it's
I
just
don't
not
know.
nice to have different locations. Like you said earlier, like so often it's the same mansion if it's shot that way. And like if with the one that we just shot, the one that just came out yesterday, we there was like at the beginning the birth scene, and I at one point looked around and I was like, I think I've given birth in this room like six times. Like I was like, this is crazy. What are we doing? Because there's only so many options, right? So it's nice to just have other places we can go and just mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think that will be fine. What else is on your bingo card for the verticals? What you
Ooh.
want to discover or what you want to try or something like that?
Yes. I would love to do a supernatural one. I think that would be super duper fun. I would
Because of
also
the storyline or the costumes or because of what?
I just really like supernatural storylines. Like I read, like especially around October, I read a lot of like supernatural romances. I just think they're kind of fun and like kind of similar to my like rom-com feelings. It's like such a like break from reality that it feels like just you're enjoying it. You're not like stressed out like outside concerns because it's so removed from reality. So I really do like a supernatural romance. So definitely interested in that. And I also like I want more stories with like female friendship at the forefront. I have a lot of amazing friends in the vertical world that like I either never get to work with or they're always like the antagonist to my lead, right? So we're either always fighting or we're never on screen together. And it's like there's so many of us that we're like, oh my gosh, I would love for us to work together, but like we're not gonna get to or we're gonna be enemies. And so I would love like a vertical that's about two friends, more about like two sisters, anything like that where it's just like centering female friendship, I think is so special. Obviously, like I know most people come to verticals for the romance, so keep the romance subplots totally fine. But I do wish we had a little bit more just like multiple strong, interesting women leading verticals would be so much fun, I think. And there's just so many gals I'd love to work with that I just feel like I'll never get the chance to because we're either like, we're both always considered like the ingenue lead, so we're not going to be cast in the same show because there's only one of those. And so it's like a lot of great gals that I won't get the chance to share the screen with. So I would love more of that. And I just love seeing slowly but surely trying different genres. Like we talked about the pirates, but like I've seen a couple really cool action ones being discussed and
Western ones.
Westerns, yes, like so many different genres are starting to kind of get explored. And I'm like, wow, that opens up so much, right? Like we can do any genre we want. And so just continuing to see the space branch out from the like methodic XYZ, we do this, we do this, we do this, here's your romance, you know what's going to happen plot line. It's kind of fun to just like try and see, new genres getting explored.
Do you watch your own verticals in total?
This one was actually the first one I've ever watched in total. The other ones I normally scan through to find out what I want to add to my reel, and then once I know what I want in my reel, I kind of don't watch the rest of it. But this one I actually watched the whole thing the morning it dropped, and I think Keegan and I watched it at the exact same time because we texted each other about it like right at the same time. We're like, oh my gosh, hey, I also just finished that. That's so funny. But I did watch this one in entirety, and I had a good time watching it. So I'm like, maybe I should go back and watch some of my other ones. But truly, all the others, I've just been like, okay. And then I emailed the producer, like, okay, I want this scene and this scene and this scene for my reel. Thank you. And then I'm done. But this one I did watch all of.
Does your family watch Americans?
Sometimes my dad and my stepmom are the apps they find confusing. They're like, the concept of everything being on a different app is very stressful for them. So like they will
Agree.
come, yes.
Agree.
They'll like come across their ads and they'll watch the whole ad. They're like, it's so great. And they'll like watch what I send them. But if I like told them right now, like go download Reel Short, they would be like, what are you saying to me? Like, no.
And
My
then you
mom
hit the paywall, and then you have to purchase them. What?
Right. They're like, no. My mom watches all of them. Oh, some of my friends watch them, but like my parents are super supportive of it, but it is like definitely there's a little bit of a barrier to them getting full access.
It's as I said, we have more than 300 platforms actually,
Yeah, it's crazy.
and it's so hard to decide which platform you want to watch because every time you have to purchase and stuff, it's getting more and more expensive for the audience because you have so many varieties in platforms, and then there is one show on this platform, one show on that platform, and every time I agree with everything that's a bit annoying with all these platforms at the moment. I don't really like it. I mean, as I said, I started watching verticals summer 2023, and there was the big platforms, Real Short, Drama Box, Good Short, and mostly of that was it. So, but now I already have, I think, 54 platforms on my smartphone,
That's so crazy.
and every time when I see kind of ad of a show maybe I would like, I'm so, new platform, please not, please not. Ah, yeah,
Is it
okay,
already
it's a
coming?
platform. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
it. Because sometimes it's really, no, I don't have this platform. And then you are downloading the platform just to take a look of the other shows, but then there are no other really interesting shows, and you are in this, oh shit, no, I don't purchase it for one show because,
Yeah.
as you surely know, it's not so cheap to have a weekly membership there. So it's getting more and more,
Yeah.
more, bit weird. Let's say it that way.
Yeah.
So you are doing verticals now, let's say then a bit more than a year. What change do you want to see, or what type of improvement do you wish for in this industry, in
I
production
definitely,
wise or whatever?
yeah. I definitely feel like the scripts have I've gradually been getting better, but I want to keep seeing that path. And that's like across the board, not just in how we're dealing with plus size bodies, but like just like good quality scripts, because I think that sometimes we fall into a trap of like, oh, this will get a lot of views because it's ridiculous. This will get a lot of clicks because it's ridiculous. And like I understand that desire, but it cheapens the story for the viewers who come for the story. And so I'm like, I want us to keep moving in a direction of like focusing on good stories first and then, figuring out how to market it from there. And I do feel like we are moving towards it. Again, I think the scripts have improved so much in the like year and a half I've been doing these. I've seen huge improvements. I want to keep going in that direction. And then I would love to see the partnership with SAG get a little bit stronger. I would love to see the union be a little bit more involved and also us find a middle ground where right now a lot of the SAG verticals, if you take a lead in a SAG vertical, you're technically taking a pay cut from like what your lead rate would be in a non-union. And it's a pretty big gap. And I wish my I something I would love to see was for us to kind of meet in the middle of like, yes, this can be union, so you can have your protections in place, you can have shorter days, you can have all of these things required, and maybe even get health insurance. How cool would that be? But also get paid the amount that your work is worth. Whereas right now, you kind of have to decide, do I want the protection of doing a union vertical for half of what I could make doing a non-union vertical? And I understand that like that is indeed the trade-off, right? The non-union ones do pay more because you do have longer days and they do have, like less restrictions as to what they can do. So I know that there's always going to be a difference, but I do wish we could find a more middle ground and make the SAG ones a little bit more appealing and make them a little bit more competition to those non-union rates. I think that would be amazing. And I also, and it's already happening, but I'm excited to see where it goes. The bigger studios stepping in, I'm very curious about how that's going to go. Like obviously, like Netflix is talking about it, and Amazon's
Disney.
talking about it, and Disney, everybody. And so just seeing like how they're going to change the whole industry, because I do think the big dogs stepping in will make everybody have to elevate their game a little bit, right? Because like Netflix has the money for a great screenwriter and a great production set and all of this good stuff. And so now it's like, okay, well, we're going to look like amateurs. We got to step it up so we can keep all this going. So I'm excited to see what that's going to look like. And I hope that not only do the studios continue to give us good opportunities and give us good scripts, but that the existing vertical space can grow to meet that as well.
Yeah, that's that. I think this summer will be a big movement in this vertical industry because compared to last year, a lot of things happened already, in my opinion.
Agreed.
So, what would be a classic no-go for you in a script? Have you ever declined a script?
I have. For me, anything that is like sexual assault themes are going to be a no for me. I think they, I struggle to think of a scenario where that has added to a story in any way. It always feels gratuitous to me. It always feels icky to me. I truly have never read or watched anything where I'm like, oh yes, this was so necessary and made the story better. So typically that's a hard no for me. I don't want to say it's always a hard no. I'm sure somewhere in the world there's a script that I would read and be like, actually, this does move the story forward in some way. But so far they've all been passes for me. Anything with like a sexual assault theme, hard no. Other than that, I'm usually open to getting the script, and there's a lot of really great casting directors in the vertical space, and a lot of casting directors that I've built really good relationships with, where in a script, if there is a ton of bullying, right? If it's really, really heavy, that casting director is going to send me the script before they even send me to the clients. And they're going to be like, read this, make sure you're okay with it, let me know, and then I'll send you. If you don't like what's in this, because it's really heavy bullying, then we won't even move forward.
Oh, that's
And I
good.
think that that is like such a sign of respect and is so good because it's like, yes, like clearly that casting director thinks that you could do the role or they wouldn't be having this conversation with you, but they want to make sure that you know what you're signing up for and what you're stepping into.
That's good.
So because of that, so far I've only ever declined because of the sexual assault aspect of a script. I've never had to decline because of the bullying, because I've always had that casting director be like, hey, this is what's going to happen. Are you okay or are you not? And I can either just like walk away at that point and never have to do an audition, or I can say like, yeah, let's see what's up. So.
Oh, that's great. How does a classic shooting day look like? Do you have kind of routine or stuff to get in the shooting mood or whatever?
I typically have like a very set morning routine every single day, but it varies a little bit on shooting days. I'm always like, I want to wake up, have my cup of coffee, do a short little meditation and journal for a little bit at the start of every day. Like that's super important to me. So I squeeze that into shooting days as well. But then because I know it's going to be a long day, I usually like want to take an extra long walk with my dog, get myself some fresh air, get him lots of exercise before I'm gone. And then I, depending on my call time, if I can work out before I go to set, that is like super important to me. I feel like it helps me be warm. I just feel more in my body that way. And like, all the things. A 6 a.m. call time probably will not work out before I get to set that day. But if it's like a 10 a.m. or something like that, I will probably go to the gym before I head to set, just like get my body moving. And then once I'm on set, I am very much at my core an introvert, and so I usually like find a little corner to exist in, and like until I am needed, I'm gonna sit there and like look over my sides, focus on the script. I'm not like super chatty unless I know someone pretty well. And yeah, just kind of staying focused, locking in, getting through the day. But my morning routine is pretty much the same depending on whether it's a shooting day or a not shooting day, as far as just like meditation, coffee, and some time with my journal, like always, every single day.
Does that give you a good work-life balance?
Yeah.
Even with type, when you have a long day on set and let's say a very emotional scene in that or scenes or a heavy role, a challenging role, as you said before, it was for you really challenging to be such a weak character. So does that type of routine and journaling helps you to keep a good balance and not get any, let's say, mental effects out of that, so that you can go home after the day wrap and really cut that day off and be the private again?
Yes, definitely. Because like in that journaling, like I can, if I had frustrations with the day before, if I was like, oh my gosh, I hate how this scene was written, it was not fun at all, I can just get all that out and I can complain to myself for as many pages as I want. And then I can be like, okay, but like let it go, it's fine. I also I try very hard, and I'm mostly successful at it, of I literally in my mind call it clocking out. When we wrap for the day, I'm clocked out, and that's work, it's over. And even if it was frustrating in the moment, even if it was high stakes at the moment, whatever it was in that moment, once I've clocked out, I've clocked out. And until I clock back in the next day, I'm not worried about it. Other than like looking at my sides, making sure I know my line. It's just like a boundary that I found works really well for me, of like reminding myself, as much as I love acting and storytelling, it is my job. And if I let it be all consuming, that's when we get in like a not a great mental space. So I literally have to be like, okay, you're clocked out. Like, stop thinking about it, stop worrying about it. You'll be back on set tomorrow. You're done for the day. And training myself to have that mindset does mean I get to come home and like play with my dog and read a book or watch a movie or go to the gym after, if it was an early call time, and have a little bit of a life, even when I'm, which is nice.
And that works. Okay, to be honest, dogs are really great grounder
Yes,
because
yes.
no, that's for example a reason why I'm having dogs. Because when I finished studying, I worked international on an IT project. I was nearly to burn out and stuff like that. So when I got cut out of that job because of an illness, I said, okay, I have to change something. And the dog said to me, yeah, if it's possible, go out every day, fresh air, go for. And I said, really? No. And then I decided, okay, now it's the best time for a dog. And every day, even if it's a bit of rain, it doesn't matter. You go out and you can let go. Just you and your dog and fresh air. And I mostly, of that time, I'm trying not to use my smartphone, just
Yes.
walking, relaxing. Enjoying, that's it. And a lot of people are saying, doesn't that annoy you when it's raining? And I said, fresh, rainy air, best air you can
Best air.
get.
Agreed. It's so relaxing. Grounding is the perfect word for it. Like after I get back from a walk with my dog, I'm like, okay,
Yeah,
like I feel
that's it.
reset.
A lot of people cannot understand. Even, I live in south of Germany. We have really cold winters with a lot of snow, and I love it walking in the forest, fresh snow, and you hear only the
Oh,
and your
that sounds
dog is so,
amazing. Yeah.
so for me, that's silence, natural silence. No better way. No better way. And I had a friend of mine who joined me for a few walks. Every time he was having a smartphone, it looked like he's kind of bored. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Yeah,
Yeah.
we are just walking." And I
That's it.
said, You have to enjoy this walk. You can hear the birds chirping. You can hear the, let's say the if it's the wind in the trees blowing, you can see some deers in the morning. You have to enjoy it and to give it attention too. And then you realize how great this can be, just a simple walk.
Yes.
But I think only dog people can understand this.
I agree. I agree.
They
It's
can
like
only
this.
understand it how funny it could be if you walk in the rain. You know, I'm that type of woman. I don't know how you did that as a small child, but I loved to jump everywhere in the water and yeah,
Yes.
splashing around.
Yes.
It's not just my dog doing, it's my dog and I doing it.
Yes. 100%. My dog actually like hates the rain, so I'm the one being like, "Let's go for a walk. It's so nice out." And he's looking at me like, "Why are you doing this to me?"
No, you know, the typical lab loves water, and my dog is like, yeah, I'm rerunning 5 times. Yeah, splashing. Yeah, love it. And you are sometimes here, okay, good that no one is watching us. That's great. Have fun. Good. You know,
Yes.
when I got my first dog, my parents said, what, you're a dog? You have to go out in the rain? And I said, I know. But there are clothes to get out in the rain without. So, and I said, and even if I get wet and a bit dirty, so what? I have a washing machine. For some people, it's not. But a good friend of mine was a bit overworked, and he came for holidays to my place for a week. And I said, okay, listen, the rule is 3 times a day, walking with the dog. No smartphones allowed. He was in the first walks, he was so uncomfortable with because
Yes. You don't know
he
what to do
didn't
with
know.
your hands.
Yeah. And then from the third day on, he was so, oh, that's really nice. And I said, that's it. You have to get grounded. And the best partner to ground you is a dog. Simple way, a dog. So, yeah, I understand that you love it going for a big walk before going on set, before all the stress. How is it to have a dog in LA? Are there good places to go for a walk, or is everywhere this big city life?
It's honestly like the only part of LA that feels like a city is downtown. The rest of it is just like various neighborhoods that are just like
Ah,
they have
okay.
parks and they have like all this different stuff. So the neighborhood that I live in, we have like 2 blocks from my apartment a really nice park that we walk to the park, do a lap around the park, and then come home. And the park has like a bunch of squirrels in the trees, and he loves to chase a squirrel.
Oh.
So like sometimes we'll just stay in the park for 20 minutes and let him like run at trees and bark at squirrels. But he loves it. And then I have a really great dog walker who comes on days when I am shooting. She'll come around like lunchtime and dinner time to take him out and then give him his dinner
Yeah.
because I'll be gone for so long. And so having her is super helpful. She's great and he loves hanging out with her. So it is a little bit of a takes a village situation. If I didn't have a great dog walker, it'd be a lot harder.
Yeah,
But days when
true.
I'm not shooting, we just have a great time. We go to the park. But shooting days, truly the only hard part is like coordinating with her, making sure she's available when I book something. Like the
Yeah.
first thing I do when I book a job is text my dog sitter and be like,
Dog.
"What are you doing these days? Are you free? Like, please,
Please, please, please. Yeah.
please,
Yeah, I
please."
know. I live also on my own. And when I'm doing lectures at the university, the days are really long. My old dog I always took with me to the university because he loved it. But as I said, he's 40 months old. For him, it's a bit, yeah, hello. What, mom? You want to tell them something? No, I want to play now. No. He's not patient enough to sleep or something. He's more like, so many people, they can crawl me. Oh, we can have fun. No, Dion, I have to work with them. You have paws. No, I don't. Okay, so I give it up taking him with me. But my dad comes over to my place always and go for a walk with him. And the funny part was there was a few months where I didn't have, because of the online ongoing and the pandemic, so I haven't to go directly to the university because I can do the courses from home. And my dad was so, huh, when do you have to go again? And I said, do you want to go with my dog? You can simply say you
You
want
can
to
just do
go with my
it
dog. You can have them. Yeah, Because my dad, it was so fun with the older dog who recently died, when you saw these two old men walking side on side. It was so cute.
I love that.
Yeah, so good dog walkers is most important thing in my life. So, Rachel, on the end of every episode, I'm asking a five question quickie.
Okay.
Everyone gets the same five question. First one, because I published a cookbook and I judge people by food. So, what's your favorite dish to eat?
Ooh, okay. If I'm ordering takeout, it's pad Thai. I love Thai food. If I'm cooking at home, I have a recipe for like a lasagna soup that is like one of my favorite comfort foods to make. So those would be my two.
Lasagna soup. I never
It's
heard
good.
about a lasagna soup.
I'll send you the recipe. It's really good.
Oh yeah, please. Because
Okay.
no, I never had a lasagna soup. I mean, I have only drive 4 hours with the car, and then I'm in Italy. And we have here in the south of Germany really great Italian restaurants, because in the 50s, 60s there were a lot of Italian guest workers here, so you can really get some great Italian food, and I love Italian food. But lasagna soup, I've never heard about.
My
Is
best friend
that
lives like 2 doors down from me.
American thing?
It's just like a recipe I found online of like you just like taking the ingredients of lasagna and like turning it into a soup. My best friend
Okay.
lives 2 doors down from me, and like every so often she'll text me and be like, "Can you make lasagna soup again?" I'm like, "Yeah, this week, don't worry."
So it's soul food, you wanna say?
Yeah.
To be honest, I recorded with Aaron Obers these days, and we talked about soul food of spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, so good.
And when I
Yes.
talked with him about that, we recorded really late in the evening, and I was starving for bolognese. And then first thing on the next day was I went to the butcher, got the meat and stuff, and cooked a big bunch of bolognese so that I can eat from it 2 days.
Yes.
Because I said it doesn't matter, bolognese could be cold, you can eat
Yes,
it
and it's still delicious.
directly out of the pan.
Yes.
And then I sent Aaron Oberst a picture and said, "Thank you for that. I'm having bolognese." And he said, "Me too."
Incredible, incredible.
So, spaghetti bolognese. Oh,
Yes, love.
it's always working. It's also good, great soul food. Do you have a type of comfort movie you love to watch or rewatch, maybe from your childhood also?
Yes, my comfort movies are Cars and Cars 3 or all of the Twilight movies. And I watch those films constantly.
So differently, Cars and Twilight. What the heck? But to be honest, I've never seen Cars 3.
Oh, Cars 3 is the best movie in the franchise. I highly recommend it. It's so good.
Okay. No, I just stopped always at the first. Okay. Yeah, I will consider that to watch. What type of music is yours?
I am a big Swiftie, huge Taylor Swift fan. I've been a fan since her first album and listen to her all the time. But I also like old school 90s country music. I love anything pop, really. I have a lot of my dad's vinyls from like the 70s that he gave me, and so I have like a bunch of classic rock. I have some old school pop stuff like that that I listen to on my record player. But my like main go-to, if you like picked up my phone at any given time, it will probably be Taylor Swift that's playing.
Are you the carpool karaoke type, singing on the way to set in the car?
Yeah, I usually make a playlist for my characters and I like jam to that on the way to set.
That's so good. I love that. Yeah. So, last two question. We spoke about the verticals you've done a bit. Which one of your verticals I should have definitely watched if I would have never? I watched more than 1,500 verticals so far. But if I would come to you and say, "Rachel, listen, I've never watched any vertical. Which one of yours should I have definitely watched?"
I would say the one that just came out, XL stands for Extra Love.
It's on Reelshort for everyone who haven't seen it
Yes.
yet. Reelshort with Sterling, Teak, and Rachel in it, and a bunch of others, but the main ones. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, that's a really good one. So, last question. We talked about a bit of genres. Which genre you want to see maybe new or more in the vertical space
I would love more like friendship comedies. I think that's something that is always really fun. Like
You mean
Friday, it's
you
the
mean
Hangover.
like Sex and the City style or what?
City, yeah, anything like that. Just like funny group of friends, very distinct personalities. You know, everybody who watches will have one they resonate with more than that kind of thing. I just think I love watching those, so I think that would be really fun. And also like there's a few, but like more race car verticals. That's what I'm always here for.
Race car. Yeah, but I'm thinking about how to shoot the race car verticals.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, there have been a few racing, more or less, racing verticals. I think you have to contact Roberta Sparta, the director.
I think so.
And Alina Averianova as a script supervisor, because these two ladies went to Las Vegas for the Formula One race last
Yes,
year.
I went there last year as well. I always go to the Vegas race.
So maybe you should team up for a vertical like this. And
Definitely.
why not a female driver? Hello.
Exactly. Would love it. Would love it.
Like a storyline, the first female Formula One driver, whatever. That's a great pitch.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, you think so? Yeah. Keep that in mind. Or you should write a script about it when you are saying that you are writing scripts. Okay, we will see. I'm curious about it. Rachel, I thank you so much for your time and talking to me. It was really a pleasure having you. And I wish you a lot of, let's say, not so size discussed roles, let's say it in that way.
Yeah.
Powerful roles and a kind of maybe challenging roles,
Yeah,
perhaps,
I love that.
so that you can improve as an actor and a trip to Europe.
Yes, I love all of that. Yes.
I will see what I can get to get what I can do to get you over here to Europe.
Amazing.
We will stay in contact, I would say. Thank you very much, Rachel, and I wish you a lovely weekend ahead and lots of fun on your next project.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.